Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, bone broth, health food or toxic? The Huffington Post called bone broth the hottest trend for physical and mental well-being. NPR has said there's an outbreak of bone broth fever in the U.S., and the New York Times has stated that bone broth has even begun to replace espresso and chai in the to-go cups of millions of Americans. As a food category, bone broth is pretty small, but within the natural health industry, U.S. retail sales have more than tripled to well over $19 million in the past year. But as the title of this Natural Health 365 podcast suggests, we may be getting carried away with the hype and not seeing the whole story behind the most popular brands of bone broth. Just a little background. Bone broth is promoted as a highly nutritious stock made from the simmering of animal bones and connective tissue. With full disclosure, I have little doubt about the health benefits of bone broth made at home with clean, healthy animal bones and tissue. But I do have many doubts about today's most popular brands of bone broth. Simply put, I'd like to know more about the quality of the ingredients before deciding whether I should buy this product or not. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, we'll take a closer scientific look at this rapidly rising food product trend and ask some very basic questions like, does this product contain ingredients that we want to avoid, like pharmaceutical drugs and other toxic chemicals? Before we meet our very special guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me in welcoming Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of Natural News, and Lab Science Director of CWC Labs to our show. Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's always good to join you. Fascinating topic. I've got a lot to share with you today.
So why don't we start off with a pretty simple question for you, Mike. What gave you the idea of actually testing bone broth to begin with?
Well, it was the number one requested product for testing by our readers. You know, we reach millions of readers every month at Natural News, and they are very much aware that we have a private laboratory with mass spec instrumentation, ISO accreditation, you know, like world-class high-end lab. So they're always asking us to test different things, and bone broth has kept coming up again and again, especially given that until recently, all the bone broth on the market was non-organic. So a lot of people had questions about what's going into these conventional chickens and perhaps ending up in the bone broth protein or bone broth powder.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referring to earlier. You know, I just sort of never felt like, oh, hey, just go along with the bone broth craze and start, you know, drinking this stuff, putting it into my smoothies, when I really didn't know where they were getting this powder from to begin with. But before we get to the results, Mike, talk a little bit more about your lab and its credentials, because I don't think people hear this enough. I mean, this is the real deal.
Yeah, well, we are the leading private food forensic analysis laboratory in the world now. I'm the author of the book Food Forensics, which was a number one best-selling science book on Amazon for a period of time. We run three different mass spec instruments now, including time of flight, you know, mass spec time of flight systems. We do organic molecular analysis and detection, as well as inorganic atomic analysis for elements. You know, we can look at lead, mercury, cadmium, and so on, but also then organic molecules such as pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, solvents, things like that, or even nutritional ingredients such as curcumin found in turmeric. Right now we're quantifying sulforaphane from broccoli sprouts, for example. So we look at positive things as well as things that maybe aren't so positive. And we're internationally recognized. I'm the co-author of a science paper published in the peer-reviewed journal called LCGC. So we're doing legit science every day and sort of pioneering the food forensic analysis field right now.
And Mike, I know you've gotten a lot of flack in the past with certain results coming out. They say, oh, this can't possibly be true. But again, I just want to be really clear about every time you're saying this is science, it's not just science that you'd like to see the results from for one reason or another. This is real science, meaning that, you know, you would challenge any lab out there to basically replicate what you've done. I'd like you to talk to that a little bit. And the fact that you're not just going, oh, hey, we got one result, and now you're going to publish a story on Natural News. This is something you're able to replicate over and over again. Am I correct in that?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Any competent lab can replicate these same results very easily. We're using standard methods, standard solvents, standard columns in the chromatography, such as a C18 column. These are all well-published methods by AOAC and other international standards bodies. So we're doing very mainstream science in this detection for the purpose of making sure that other labs can replicate it. This isn't rocket science, by the way. I mean, this is not difficult stuff to see. It's just that nobody else has bothered to test it. You know, most labs don't really conduct science in the public interest. We do. You know, we're a nonprofit. The Consumer Wellness Center is a 501c3 nonprofit. So we use our resources to look at things that the public is consuming in large quantities and then share those results with the public so they can make better informed decisions.
Well, that's interesting, too. I want people to be very aware of this stuff before we get into the actual results of the bone broth itself, which is just as important. But, Mike, what you were talking about labs not really doing things in a public interest, maybe you want to elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, most labs are driven by profit, just like any other type of business, and there's nothing wrong with a commercial lab business, but they're trying to keep their customers happy. So a lot of labs out there in the food space actually run old, outdated instruments with very low sensitivity. And some labs are actually in the business of not detecting things so they can produce reports back to the client, i.e. the manufacturer of the food products. And that report will say, oh, not detected for everything they were looking for. Pesticides, not detected. Herbicides, not detected. Well, that's because their instruments are not calibrated correctly and not sensitive enough, and some of the instruments are decades old. So there literally is a what we call a black hat science lab industry that's in the business of not detecting things.
All right, so bottom line is if you're into this bone broth craze, and again, I don't say that with any judgment at all, you've been using these products for a while, you're going to want to pay close attention to what we're about to go over, which are the results that Mike discovered. And by the way, Mike, just real quick, this isn't something that you did on your own, right? You've got people in this lab, PhDs, you know, well-qualified technicians that are doing all this. It's not just you in this building.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's not just me. No. We have staff. I've got an on-staff organic chemist, for example. We've got partnerships with some of the equipment manufacturers and so on. So it really is a team effort. I'm just the director of the team. And, you know, I help publicize the results to kind of translate it to the public, because what actually comes out of the lab is very, very technical. You know, if you want to look at chromatography and mass spectra and do a quantitation analysis and all that stuff, that's great. But most people just want to be told, hey, what's in there? You know, so that's my job, is to help explain it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going to get into right now. We're going to talk about whether the companies had anything to say about this, any kind of reaction that you've gotten as well. I want to also get into, you know, what you see as far as after these results, what you feel most people ought to do now. You know, what are the next steps? We got a lot of important things to talk about. But first, I just want to thank our sponsor one more time, Live On Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, just visit liveonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. Okay, Mike, so this is the part, like you said, this is all that people care about. They don't want to analyze all your data that you have in the lab. They just want to know, what were the actual results? What should they be concerned about? Is my product tainted? This is what people really care about.
Well, first of all, we only tested non-organic products, so these are all conventional products. Now, most people don't think about what's really in the non-organic food supply. But if you think about it, the things we found shouldn't be a surprise, because we found antibiotics and antimicrobials, insecticides, organophosphate chemicals, prescription drugs. We found butylparaben, which has been linked to breast cancer. We found steroidal hormones and so on. And a lot of other chemicals as well that I haven't mentioned here. But We found a lot of these things. Now, these things are in the non-organic food supply at different concentrations in different types of foods. You know, non-organic means you're probably going to be eating some pesticides and some herbicides and some other chemicals, maybe antibiotics and so on. So it shouldn't be surprising that these things were found. It's just that most people who are buying bone broth are buying them, they're marketed as natural, healthy, breakthrough, health conscious, you know, paleo. They're marketed in a way that implies that they're really, really clean, or at least that's the impression many people get. And yet, as our analysis shows, they contain all of these different chemicals. So it's simply an awareness question for people to become aware of what's actually in non-organic products. And by the way, real quick, Jonathan, we have purchased organic. There are two organic products now in the market, and we purchased those. We'll be testing those in the next week. So we're going to look at organic, and hopefully we'll see that organic is significantly cleaner in terms of a lack of these chemicals. But if it isn't, then that's a bombshell story too, because why is it labeled organic if these chemicals are still there, right?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, Mike. I mean, again, taking a step back for a moment, a deep breath here, and looking at this whole idea of how they want to piggyback. And again, this is for a lot of companies that are trying to sell supplements. It's important to have the highest quality. But when we're talking about bone broth, I think a lot of people get this sort of connotation. Maybe I'm wrong. I want to get your take on it. About, you know, grandma's bone broth. It's what I said earlier on in introducing this whole topic. I'm all for the idea that you have some healthy animals maybe towards the end of their life. You know, they're slaughtered, they're on your land. You know you're not spraying any chemicals. You're raising very healthy animals. Now those animals, you're using the bones and the tissues. You know, you're eating the meat. I get all of that. Something real and genuinely natural and making your own homemade bone broth. There could be some nutritional value to that. But this is bone broth that's done, you know, in big machines and companies that are maybe using solvents on their machines. I mean, people need to be fully aware of all of this when it comes to selecting the kind of products that they want to consume. Isn't this fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the main chemicals that we keep finding, we found in 7 out of 8 products that we tested, is called MGK-326. And this is an insect repellent that is used in the food processing industry. So they saturate the equipment with this insect repellent, and it's not illegal to do so. Now, if your grandma was making bone broth, she probably didn't slather the pan with insect repellent. You know what I mean? And she probably didn't feed her chickens, you know, synthetic hormones and antibiotics or arsenic and all these other things that can go into conventional chicken. You got to realize that bone broth is really a byproduct of the scraps of the chicken factory industry. So this is just a way that the chicken industry has found one more way to make money off stuff that they used to just throw away.
Yeah, and this is my point, Mike, is the bone broth powder industry, that's what you just described. But bone broth in grandma's kitchen, that's a whole other thing. So it's going to be really interesting to find out whether these organic companies, and again, I think this is a fine line that we are dancing back and forth over, and I'd like you to clarify it, at least from what you've seen in your research. An organic company may be using some fairly toxic solvents or chemicals to clean machines as well to produce their organic powders, or am I way off here?
Well, there are certain chemicals that are allowed in organic certified foods and other chemicals that are not. So I have a kitchen that is certified organic. I've been through the organic process and audited many, many times. You know, you have to undergo an audit annually. So I'm quite familiar with that. We will take a look at these organic products and find out what they contain and then see if that's actually allowed under organic certification. A lot of people don't know that organic doesn't mean the food is tested. You see, the USDA organic certification is only a certification of an agricultural process, not an agricultural outcome. There is no end result testing required by the USDA. So you can have organic products that are grown in heavily contaminated, polluted areas next to a coal power plant, for example. You could have your food could be full of mercury or lead from the air that falls on the soil. And yet it could still be certified organic because you didn't spray it with the synthetic pesticides that are not allowed under organic. You know what I'm saying? So the outcome of the food is not guaranteed by the organic label.
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And I would like you to disclose some of these companies, if you don't mind, that really are the ones that should be on people's radar, because obviously that's the thing too. People are sitting at home now, they're looking at their product, and it's like, come on, Mike, which ones are they?
Well, we tested Ancient Nutrition, Jaro Formulas, Sports Research, Precision Naturals, Left Coast, and Lono Life. Those are the brands we tested so far, and we chose those because those were the most popular brands on Amazon. And for Ancient Nutrition, I think we tested several products, and we found very much the same chemicals in, you know, across those products. Not an exact match, but very close. And we also found that a lot of those same chemicals are found in other brands, which tells us that a lot of these different brands are probably getting their raw material from the same places.
That is probably something that is likely to occur. I'm just curious, with your reporting side of everything you do at Natural News, I'm just curious if you had any of your people reach out to these companies. Is it fair to say that maybe they have no idea? I'm not trying to be naive about this, but do they know? Are they aware of it now? What kind of reaction did you get? I'm just really curious about that.
No, our policy, see, we have a lot of experience at this. We, in the past, we would try to reach out to companies for a statement. And usually, and I'm not saying that's not the case in this case, but in the past, they would immediately threaten to sue us, or they would immediately threaten, you know, different things. So normally they don't test their own products. So most companies in the nutritional supplement space simply do not test their products, period. They don't own a lab like we do, and they don't want to expend the money to pay for a lab to conduct these analyses because it's expensive. You know, my lab, we've spent over $2 million so far in building the lab, and running it is at least $20,000 a month, maybe $25,000 or $30,000 a month. It costs a lot of money to maintain a lab. You have to run vacuum pumps 24/7, for example. You have to do preventative maintenance on all the instruments. We're talking thousands and thousands of dollars a month just to keep it running. So a lot of companies, they just bypass that. They just cover their eyes and pretend everything's clean, you know, and then they just sell it to the public and don't bother testing it. That's like 98% of the industry.
And I would challenge, you know, anyone out there listening to this program who is running perhaps a store of their own and they're offering products to the public, hey, maybe it's on you that you want to try to keep your integrity high. You want to be fully transparent with your customers. But also, any of those representatives of any of these companies, Mike, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure it's an open door and you welcome this kind of, you know, wanting from these companies to send their products to you, get them tested, certified one way or another, so that they really know before they offer it to the public. Isn't that fair to say you would want to see that happen?
Well, actually, no. We buy these products off the shelf because we don't want to get products from these companies. We don't want to have financial relationships with these companies. We want to be able to conduct our science independently. So we're testing off-the-shelf products because, frankly, I don't trust products that companies would send me themselves, because how do I know that's not their one clean product and everything they're selling is actually contaminated, you see? So I go buy these at retail like everybody else, and that's what we test. Now, as far as lab testing, commercial testing, we're not even offering this testing service on this commercially. Frankly, we're too busy testing stuff just for the public. You know, we do not have spare time in our lab to get paid money to do these tests for other companies. So if one of these companies came to me and said, hey, Mike, I want to pay you this money to test our products, would you do that? Right now, I would have to say, no, I'm sorry. We're kind of busy testing other stuff. So this is not about making money in our lab. There's no revenue model for us in this. There's no conflict of interest. We don't sell bone broth. And frankly, I never will sell bone broth because I don't like this animal source and the, you know, the factory treatment of animals, for one thing. So that's not a product that I would ever sell. But to answer your question, no, we're not in the business of doing this to try to entice, you know, people to use our lab commercially. That's not part of our revenue model.
No, oh, I'm really glad I asked that for clarity. It's important for people to understand where you're coming from, why you're doing this. And then people can, of course, like I always say on all these programs, you've got to take this information and hopefully it sparks you out there to just do your own investigating and make your own decisions about where you want to invest your money. That's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line for me. I've got a few other questions to ask you, Mike, about the grass-fed, the pasture-raised bone broth, you know, these distinctions that you see out there in the market, you know, that I know you're not getting into health outcomes about ingesting these products, but what do you suggest that people do? A few other important things I'm sure we'll go over, but just one last time, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, just visit livonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. So, Mike, as I just mentioned a minute ago, I know your lab doesn't suggest a health outcome from ingesting any of these products. Like, oh, my God, you got these results now from, you know, these different companies. Now this is what we think might happen to you. That's not your business. But what would you personally do? I think you've already answered it, but would you use these products? And what do you say to the public?
Well, first of all, I would always choose organic across the board as a general rule for everything. If you're not buying organic, you're definitely eating pesticides and other things like insect repellent chemicals and so on. Now, the manufacturers of those chemicals, they say, oh, it's perfectly safe to eat in these amounts, but they never really test the cocktail combination that you're getting. If you're eating, you know, bone broth and then you're eating something else and you're doing some gluten-free stuff that's not organic, but it's made with rice, let's say, now you've got all the rice chemicals because rice is a very, very dirty crop. Generally speaking, and a lot of it comes from China. The question is the aggregate load. What happens when you've got 400 chemicals in your body, each one at, let's say, a relatively small level, you know, in terms of concentration in your blood, but now you've got this synergistic toxic potential for 400 chemicals. There's never been any study done on that. There's no science about what happens. And yet we look around our world today and we see cancer rates getting worse. We see more people becoming diabetic. We see rising rates of autism, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ALS, all these things. Now, we can't say that that's from one cause. It's probably from multiple causes, but those causes are probably aggregate chemical exposure through personal care products, through home building materials, poor office space air, you know, laundry products, fabric softeners, plus the things you eat and the medications you take and the water you're drinking out of a well that's contaminated and all these other things. It is wise for people to reduce their exposure to toxic chemicals from every vector. And that's why this information is important. If you can take chemicals out of your diet, then that's a great way to protect yourself, even if you're still getting a few chemicals from other sources.
It's been one of the biggest messages we've put out here on the Natural Health 365 podcast, Mike, is we're talking about not really such fancy, difficult things to do. It's about really taking that deep breath, taking a good look at everything you're doing, and avoid toxins like what you just said. What a powerful thing alone that would be on someone's health versus, you know, oh, wow, I have to take all these fancy formulas and these complex detoxification programs and very expensive supplements. Now, look, all of these things might be nice if you can afford to get high quality supplements and, you know, eat the best food and go to the best organic restaurants. That's nice, obviously, compared to going to fast food or conventional places. It's great. But the main thing is to be thinking about avoiding as much as possible any of these threats in our food, our water, the immediate airspace that we live and we work and we sleep in. That's a very powerful thing on our health.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And I'm with you on I'm not opposed to bone broth if it's something that's homemade, that's been done in Chinese medicine for thousands of years, you know. It can be very healthful, especially for people who have been vegans for a long period of time and maybe they're vitamin deficient in B12 or other things and they need a surge of energy. Bone broth for them can be almost miraculous. But do you want factory-made bone broth? You know what I mean? There's the question. And there's a lot of deceptive marketing in the natural product space, a lot of deceptive marketing, and a lot of positioning of products as super healthy or kind of new age positioning or almost organic-like. You know, I've seen products labeled better than organic, and then when I tested them, they contain mercury. You know, there's a lot of deception out there. So don't be swayed by the label or the company or the company's founder. There's a lot of deception. You need to look at what's actually in the can, what's in the product, what is physically in there, because all the words and marketing text and advertising doesn't mean anything compared to what's actually in the can.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, grass-fed, pasture-raised bone broth, like you said about these words that don't legally really have a whole lot of regulation or legality behind it. Basically, what I'm saying is it's okay to slap this on the label, but, you know, grass-fed animals make up our bone broth. Maybe they had a little doorway and they have access to go in and out and chomp on some grass a little bit, but not necessarily even all year round. When they say, you know, that the grass-fed animals, but it's not 100%. I mean, it's like you say, there's a lot of things they dance around to just sort of hopefully give you this connotation that is 100% natural and it's wonderful and healthy, but the reality of it could be very different if people really looked into it.
Well, grass-fed is a joke, if not a fraud. For one thing, you can spray herbicides all over a field and then bale it as hay and take the hay bales and feed those dry to your cows, and you can call that grass-fed. Okay, so it doesn't mean cows are running around a green pasture. All it means is they're eating hay that's been sprayed with herbicides. Okay, so people need to understand that. There's so much deception out there. The animal treatment, the ethics of how these animals are treated. I have asked people who are selling bone broth products, like, do you know where this is coming from? Do you know what's above you in the supply chain? And they tell me, no, they really don't. They've never really looked into it. And I say, well, how can you sell this if you don't know how these animals are being treated upstream? And they really, they don't care. They just know they've got a product to sell, they can make a lot of money, and they don't want anybody to ask very many questions.
So if somebody wants a good source of protein for their smoothie, maybe they've listened to this and, you know, again, in full disclosure, Mike, I certainly have, you know, told everybody this is not something that's part of my diet. It never was something that I'm really interested in. I'm doing the podcast because bone broth is very popular in our health space here, the work that we do. But if somebody wanted another good source of protein to kind of chuck into their smoothie, what do you recommend?
Well, if all you're looking for is protein, you don't need to get it from bone broth. Hemp protein is consistently very clean. Organic, of course, always. Pea protein is clean, always organic again. Whey protein is also very, very clean. We've done extensive testing on like our own whey protein, you know, that we offer, over 12 different tests on it, by the way. It's from New Zealand cows. And so whey protein can be very, very clean. But this bone broth protein, I have yet to see a sample that I would personally dare to eat. You know, I mean, look, I'm my own customer too. I use my lab to test the things that I might eat myself or that I might package and sell through the Health Ranger store. So if I'm not comfortable eating it, there's no way that I'm going to offer it to the public. So until I'm convinced that it's safe and I do the labs and I see the results, then I'm not going to go for a product. And that's, you know, sadly, we live in a marketplace where so many of the companies are just interested in making money. They don't care about eating their own products. And some companies wouldn't dare eat their own products. They know they sell, you know, and this is just one more craze. There was a zeolite craze, you know, a couple years ago, and we, you know, we looked at zeolites and found they contain a lot of lead and a lot of aluminum. I mean, really high amounts. A lot of times these crazes, these nutritional crazes, end up just being a flash in the pan kind of thing, because then people find out how it's actually made. Like, remember agave syrup?
Sure.
Yeah, and people thought, oh, this is the healthy sweetener. Well, it turns out it's basically just kind of like high fructose corn syrup, still a pretty high glycemic index, and so on, is heavily processed. So, you know, these crazes come and go, and a lot of times all these claims fall apart under scrutiny.
There you have it. You've got the information now. Please, I urge you to take this kind of a program, look into things yourself. You know that I always say that about all of this information we put out there. Mike, I'm looking forward to hearing more on naturalnews.com about the test results of the organic varieties here out there. Because look, maybe some of them are okay. I just want to know what the results are. And I really do appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great to join you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.